Welcome to Star Party, an astrology and tarot podcast that serves up both soulful evolution and bedazzled celebration. I'm astrologer and hypnotist Sandy Citron.
And I'm astrologer and tarot reader Bess Matassa. We're so glad you're here. Let's get the party started.
Hello, Star Party people. It is Cancer season, and Beth and I are going to step out of our cozy little shells and talk to you for a little while. Hi, Bessie.
Hi. Celebration time, my favorite word.
Celebrate good times. Come on.
Your voice sounds so smooth and like sheltering. You're really channeling these Cancer vibes.
I really just got into it for a moment.
I felt it. I felt surround sounded by your softness.
Yeah. Soft cuddles.
Soft cuddles. Yeah. It's a real slumber party over here this season.
Yeah. Oh my God. Surrounded by pillows, down pillows and silk pajamas.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I got to get some silky stuff. I feel like my materials are too harsh. Too many Aries materials around me. It's time for some silk.
You know, I've always had the worst collection of pajamas.
Yeah, my pajama situation is not great.
Yeah, it's really bad. Like from childhood on, I think I got my first matching set of pajamas like 2 years ago.
Yeah, I don't think I have any matching sets. It's just like whatever clothes transition out of being actual clothes, like go to the pajama situation before they then go to death.
You know, it's so utilitarian.
Yeah.
So un-cancer season.
It really is. Yeah.
I feel like part of the way we're going to describe cancer season is through describing it's what it's not or what its opposites are.
Yeah.
Or at least that's me.
Yeah. Up against it, up against that Capricorn edge. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So are you to start, my Aries friend?
I like that Shakespearean interlude there. I am to start, my dear countrywoman. I don't know. I am to start. I don't know if I have any great reveals to share here, but I have been really feeling what I might call the pull of water. And I think we've talked about this before, but for me, it's like Cancer to Scorpio to Pisces. These are all different kinds of almost magnetic pulls, you know, and in Cancer, we're drawn inside. It's that cove experience of being pulled inside or being pulled to sort of surround or be surrounded. And then in Scorpio, we're pulled down. And then in Pisces, we're carried out, you know, by the sea. And so all of this, I think, is like really getting me in the consciousness of how much resistance and giving over like water wants, like how that patterning sort of works. And, you know, historically, I don't want to say I've had a struggle with water, but I'm not, you know, by natal chart a particularly watery inclined person. And so I think there's been a lot of like resisting those currents. And, you know, when the call is to be inside or down or out, and, you know, maybe sort of the Scorpionic current is one that I've related to a little bit more easily, maybe because of that Mars correspondence with Aries. But, you know, I sort of invite listeners, maybe if this feels appealing to you, to kind of explore those three sensations for a moment. This kind of drawn inside or being surrounded, this cove-like, and then this being pulled down and under, sort of magnetized below, and then this sensation of being carried out. And, you know, chances are, I think similar to like outer planet orientations, we might find ourselves slightly more comfortable in one sensation than another at any given moment. But I think the second thing that's really been coming through for me for Cancer has been this idea of return. And it's such a huge theme. And when we kind of see it through the lens of like memory and nostalgia, sometimes I think sometimes we get pigeonholed into this, like the pull of the past in Cancer. And I think, of course, that's present, but it's also like, I think emblematic of this larger call to return, like return to ourselves, return to a source, return to an essence. And it really hit me this Cancer season, this feeling of like where we are kind of in the wheel. Like we begin in Aries, obviously we have this first trinity that's basically just like, here we are on Earth. And then we move into the second trinity, this Cancer, Leo, Virgo, and Cancer begins it. And it's almost like we have to come back for ourselves before we like begin again. There's something, I don't know what that means, but like there's something about that potency of return. And I've really been like working with these four arcs of these like trinities, you know, these seasonal trinities lately. And it feels like that first trinity, Aries, Taurus, Gemini is really, yes, like this here on earth. And then the second trinity is this feeling of at home here on earth. And it's almost like this word keepsakes keeps coming through to me. Like Virgo, or Cancer to Leo to Virgo, it keeps life. It holds it close. It treasures it. Like there's this treasuring sensation. We're just in the flow of life in Aries, Taurus, Gemini. And then we're like holding it close in Cancer, Leo, Virgo. And each of those signs have a different orientation to what it might mean to sort of treasure life. And, you know, and then we go forward into the final arcs of, you know, I'm just like playing around with these terms, but, you know, that third arc of Libra, Scorpio, Sag is like, I feel the earth move. And then the final arc is like leaving earth or heaven on earth, this Capricorn, Aquarius, Pisces. So that's where I am. I'm like in this kind of sloshy magnetic pull of water and really thinking about this idea of return, coming back for ourselves and what it means to like treasure and hold life close.
So beautiful. I really like what you're saying. So many ideas sparked. I want to kind of piggyback off of this idea of return, but just to kind of throw in a little footnote that I thought of when you were talking, isn't it interesting that Capricorn rules time and then Cancer, the opposite sign, kind of is supposed to be in charge of the past? Like, what does that mean exactly? I just hadn't thought of it until right now. I think I hadn't thought of it. It's something about, well, this is a good segue actually, because, you know, with Cancer, you're looking back to the past, but maybe because Capricorn rules the linearity of time, Cancer rules like the disappearance of time. And so like past, present, and future are just gone and everything meshes together. And so that past, those memories are just so present in the moment. And they're so here because there's no time to separate it out. You know what I mean? Maybe it's more about that. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to like adequately bring this thought through, but I was having this thought last night and I couldn't articulate it. But now that you're saying it, I don't know. I'm just going to throw it out there. I was reading something about like ancient Egypt, and now I can't remember the word, but there's like a form of time that is basically like a timelessness or an eternal. And I think some of the temples and like constructedness of, you know, statues were intended. I think it's called like Djet or something. Djet. I don't remember. But basically whatever I was reading was talking about these three experiences of time, this eternal, like kind of what you're talking about in the timelessness of Cancer. And then this cyclical or the spiralic or, you know, something, this kind of returning sensation, and then the linearity of time. And at first I was like, oh, like Cancer must be like connected to the cyclical. But no, I think it's actually the eternal. And then I was trying to sort of like trick out all the signs in my mind, like through this lens. And you and I have done this before with like future, present, past, and fight, you know, the elements. And I don't know where this is all going, but there's something that just like sparkled really in me when you were saying timelessness.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Yeah, I think, you know, I'm just trying to think of how we can work with that idea in Cancer season, you know, because part of the reason we like to talk about the signs during the seasons is to think about like, how do we take this in? And, you know, I think it is about letting go for a few weeks here, some of that like sense of the end result or where things are going, and kind of letting things like be past, present, and future all at once, if you can. I mean, obviously we can't really do that because we're so built in this construct of time, but there are those moments where we can just, you know, be in it if we can remember to.
Yeah, it's like something's coming through for me now. And, you know, I think on another episode, we talked about the water element connected to the past, but now I'm like really wondering if water isn't, you know, I've always used the word eternal to describe Scorpio, but I think the Pisces and Cancer, like there's an eternal quality. And I think it, when you were talking about the linearity, it sparked for me also this idea of forgiveness. And forgiveness is something I've always associated with Scorpio, you know, mainly, and then maybe Pisces. But like all of the water signs teach us through nonlinearity, like there's these pulls, there's these returns, there are these things that where we so-called, we call the past, like I'm back in the shit, or I'm back doing this thing, or I can't believe I haven't progressed here. And all the water signs want us to erode linearity. And yeah. So there's like this forgiveness that I'm finding in what you're saying too, this idea of like when we release from the end goal or release from linear time, we like let ourselves, yeah, just sort of emerge and pop up in whatever moment. And maybe it feels like the pull of the past through water, but there's this whole higher octave of water that we have to like lose the idea of past, present, future to even access almost.
Yeah. It's kind of like, it makes me think of like the ridiculousness of like trying to be in like a lake or an ocean and not let some of the water touch you. You know, like if you're like floating and you're like, well, I only want this water to touch me, but not that water. Does that make sense? Like, yeah. Like, because it's like you're in, you know, I think part of this linear time that we have is like, well, I've got to get out of this pattern I'm in and into this next thing. I got to move forward. I've got to get away from my past and change and grow. Oh, I'm still stuck in this cycle. And it's like, well, imagine you're floating in the water. Like, what are you getting away from? You can't get away from it. It's all right. The same thing, you know?
Right.
I don't know. So yeah. Why try? Like, that doesn't have to be your goal. I think that, to me, that feels a little reassuring. Maybe to someone else, that would feel horrifying.
Yeah, I think at most points in my life, that would have felt horrifying. I think maybe I'm at a point now where I'm like ready to consider that.
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
Because like the obliteration and, you know, like there's different, obviously each element poses, I don't want to say threats, but certain challenges to other elements. And, you know, when fire yeah. faces water, it faces, you know, the potential obliteration of the singularity of self, you know, which is like,
yes.
Oh my God. But
oh my God.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready to let it in this at the ripe age of 42.
Yeah, exactly. I do think that's something that's changed for me going through my Pluto square Pluto over the last few years. That was something that came out of it, was this just like, there's no goal. There's no goal. It's just, it is what it is. Like we're all just let it all be. There's no ego. So when I first started thinking about Cancer season, it's interesting because this is the first time we're talking about Cancer season when I've actively been like a mother. Like we might've talked about last year around this time, but I think I was too sleep deprived and maybe like I wasn't in the groove, but thinking about like everything I do in my day where it's like taking care of this, connecting to this person, changing a diaper, you know, giving a hug, like just being like super present with my child. For me and my personality, that's not something I had like really done before, or that it's not something that I had spent so much time doing. And you know, it's kind of for me in my own way, and there's a million different ways you could connect with the energy of a sign. But for me in my own way, this is like one way I'm accessing that energy of Cancer, the sign right now. And it makes me feel about the sign of Cancer that it's just like, it's this season, these weeks of Cancer season are like the season of heart. They're the season of like this big heart, this like just this magnanimous, fully grounded, fully confident heartfulness of sharing, of love, and this kind of giving. And it was making me think of this act of Cancer time. And so for anyone listening, regardless of what your responsibilities are in life, you know, thinking about this time is just like, how can I get the most into my heart, or the most into this sense of somehow like exuding heart, which to me is about kind of giving. But it's not giving with any sense of reciprocation, you know? So it's like this like sense of giving, of just kind of like overflow giving, like just like this giving that is part of a cycle, but it's just like coming up from within you and it's kind of overflowing out, and then it feeds you back, but it's not feeding you back in like a way that you're expecting it to. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's making me think of like this idea of like the cardinal signs, I mean, this I think is true for all signs in their own ways, but the cardinal signs is like creators of the context of the element. I think we've talked about this before, but this idea that they, for me at least, the cardinal signs assert that this realm is real and they're sort of guardians of the realm almost. And it's like they have to do both. It's like Cancer, like, wants to be sheltered on some level, but it also has to be the shelter. Like, it has to sort of construct the reality that to show that it's even possible, like all of these cardinal energies. And so it makes sense that this like wide open heart, and then like that begets Leo being able to play in that heart, and that begets Virgo being able to commit to that, you know, heart and devote to that heart, the cause of that. You know, and so I love what you're saying about this, like just seeing this sort of ample, I'm just like seeing this like open space that, you know, this habitat that each of the cardinals creates.
Yeah. Oh, that's so beautiful. It also made me think, I just watched that Ant-Man and Wasp, like third movie or whatever, a Marvel movie. It's a Marvel movie. So probably like 10% of our listeners will have seen it. I don't know how many of our listeners watch Marvel movies, but I do. And one of the, it's like in an alternate reality in this quantum dimension. And one of the creatures that exists there is this like living creature that is used as like a house and also a ship. And it's like this big kind of like bulbous form that has some arms and legs and like a big opening. And the other creatures live inside of it. And also like it's a ship. But it's also like a warrior kind of energy, like because it fights, you know, and it doesn't have a name or anything. It's just part of the world. And they're like, wait, your ships aren't alive or your houses aren't alive. And it just made me think of Cancer when you were talking about that, of just being like, you know, the shell is also, you know, you have to like do something. You have to give that protection in order to enjoy it as well. Or give that heart in order to enjoy it as well.
Give it. There's something, because I feel like I've always talked about and thought about the fixed signs as more like sort of the holders of space and this kind of width that they create. But I don't know. Now I'm thinking like, well, they do in their own way. They sort of amplify and sort of push out the wall, the original walls, to kind of hold more. But there's this work that the cardinals do to even, like create that environment. What did you just say? What was the word you just said?
Protection or?
No, I can't remember.
Giving.
Give. Yeah, just give.
So the other thing I was thinking about with this, and so bear with me because it's like, sometimes I'll have a thought come in and then I have to be like, what does this thought mean in relation to this? And then I explore and then I finally figure it out. So I was somehow thinking about jealousy because I've been talking to a few people lately about, you know, like, for example, Instagram jealousy of like, oh, I saw this person doing this thing and I wish I was doing that thing. And that kind of feeling of like, well, I'm not doing it, but they're doing it. And I was like, I've been thinking about that a lot. And I've been thinking about like, where does that come from? And I was like, I don't know how, but this feels related to Cancer season. And I don't know why, because I don't normally think of jealousy as an emotion that comes along with Cancer season. But so I Googled it. So I was like looking up like jealousy, where does that come from? Well, you know what I mean? What's it about? Like what's underneath it? And one of the articles that came up was talking about how it's an emotional insecurity. And I was thinking about it. I was like, oh, maybe Cancer season or the kind of core energy of the sign. And that's not to say that it's the only way this comes through, but maybe Cancer season is like the most emotionally confident sign. And we don't think about Cancer really as being confident. I think we think more about like Leo being confident or Aries being confident. But I was thinking about, I was like, Cancer is emotionally confident. Like it is the core confidence because everything from Cancer comes from love. Like everything about Cancer is just pure love and pure like sharing and giving. And so you can't be in both places. Like you can't be emotionally insecure and also in this kind of pure love. Like they just, the love thing just annihilates the emotional insecurity. So, you know, of course, that's not to say that, you know, if you're a Cancer sun sign or if you're a person living in Cancer season, that you're just going to immediately be emotionally confident in every level. No, that's not how it's going to happen. Like, we all have emotional insecurities. And according to my research today, those look like, you know, being like jealous or having self-doubt or even being like irritated with someone, you know, kind of be like, oh, they could do that better or do that differently. That can even be an emotional insecurity. But I think that if we use this time, you know, or if you do have Cancer predominant, you're in your chart, using this time is even more important to kind of explore, like, how can I like be with myself in such a way that I'm building up my own kind of sense of inner love or peace in some way. You know, it doesn't have to be broad or vast, but to kind of connect with that magnanimous, giving, loving energy of Cancer, to find it within yourself. You know, I just as an example, I was kind of irritated with someone at work who had said something that was like, you know, they were kind of cutting me down to my manager, and I was kind of irritated about that. And I was annoyed. I was just like really annoyed. I was like, I couldn't shake it, even though I didn't really want to be in that mental spot. And then I just started thinking about this person and their childhood and like the few things I've known about their childhood and them as a little baby. And I just got so overwhelmed with love and also like, care, you know, and I know that's not an easy place to get to, but somehow I managed to in that moment. And I was just like, oh, this thing doesn't matter. You know, this is just a thing. And I was able to like meet them. And the next time I saw them with just like a really loving feeling. And it was this moment of being like, oh yeah, you can kind of shift some of those things by shifting your perspective or how you're thinking about something a little bit. Not always. I'm not trying to say that's easy or that I always do that, because I definitely don't always do that at all, almost never. But it was a moment where I was able to, and I was like, yes. Wow. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's when you're talking, I'm thinking a lot about the word responsibility and the cardinal signs. Mm-hmm. And like, obviously every sign has a responsibility and a, you know, a purpose here, but like, not to conflate those two concepts, but there is an enormous sense of like responsibility. And I think it's something like we're going to get into a little bit, at least I'm going to get into a little bit in the chart today too, like sort of taking responsibility for the use of like a sign and kind of like the octaves of expression within it. But it's also making me think too, like, you know, not to make this obviously Bess and Sandy say psychology today, but like, you know, I think I've struggled historically a lot with water energy. When I sense it, you know, through another person sometimes, because it always feels to me, it's my perception, or it has often historically felt like there's a hidden agenda somehow that I don't understand. And I'm just like, and I perceive myself, and, you know, whenever we perceive ourselves in a unified way, of course, there's plenty of work to do, but I've perceived myself as not having as much of an agenda, you know, like a secret agenda, which of course has led to many excavations about like what happens behind the guileless, earnest, you know, frontier of the Leo moon. But like, I think when you're speaking about, you know, these, when I'm thinking about responsibility, with the cardinals, I think that there's also a responsibility connected to this idea of like, I don't want to say purifying the agenda, but getting really clear on what the agenda is. Like when you're talking about this sort of higher octave expression of Cancer, you know, that isn't, you know, sort of like this sloshy subterranean water that's going to try to sort of infiltrate, or, you know, I'm like thinking of struggles I've had with my Cancer moon, my 12th house Cancer moon mom over the years, where I'm like, oh, geez. But this idea that there's also this other form of like responsibility taking, that you're, you know, where we like this emotional confidence. I love that phrase of like getting really clear on like the motivation and like using it in a directional sense, like applying that energy of like a cardinal water. I don't know if all that makes sense, but
yeah, I sometimes think that Cancer people with that, you know, predominant Cancer placements, sometimes I think that they have maybe the best chance of emotional intelligence of any of us, you know, because there can be this really directed use of the emotions, or a sense of like, this is what I'm feeling, this is what I'm going to do with it, this is what it is. And, you know, and being upfront with that as opposed to a hidden agenda. Not that there's anything wrong with hidden agendas. Yes. Mercury and Scorpio over here. Nothing wrong
and
with
Mars
that
and
at
Scorpio,
all.
Right?
And Mars conjunct Uranus and Scorpio in the 12th house. I know nothing of what you see.
Yeah, Mars and Aries over here. I got no agenda. Just here to whatever.
You have Mercury and Mars in Aries, and I have Mercury and Mars in Scorpio. It is amazing we get anything done together. But it has to be like this in the moment because we're such a good pair. But when it's right in the moment, I feel like we do really well.
Yeah, yeah, just emerge,
bouncing Mars off power. Of each other.
Yeah. All right. So should we start unpacking this listener chart? How about
it? Can't
you feeling
wait.
It? Now I've got to find let me just bring up the queue here, the hot question. This is from Aaron. And Aaron writes, I am a Cancer Sun and Capricorn rising. So I've been told this means that I should be, quote, leaning into my Capricorn qualities during this lifetime. However, my North Node is in Cancer and my South Node is in Capricorn. And I was also told to, quote, lean into my North Node and leave behind South Node Capricorn. Can you please shed some light on these conflicting placements? Should I even be, quote, leaning into either of these, or should I just accept that I will always be torn between the two energies and character traits? For what it's worth, I'm a Pisces moon, so not sure if that plays a role as a tiebreaker of sorts.
Yeah. I have so many things I want to say. and they're not, you know, I have thematic things I want to say. So many things. So I'm just going to... Okay, so first of all, this is a great question, and thanks for sending it in, Aaron, because it's good for a lot of our listeners, like anyone who has oppositional type energies in the chart. So if you're born on a full moon, you know, if your sun or an important planet is in the opposite sign of your north node, if you have your sun in the seventh house or conjunct the descendant in your chart, these are all going to be like really important. This is an important question for a lot of people. My first thing I want to say is I just have so many questions about who said this to Aaron and how. So yeah. Like, for example, was it something that she read? You know, she said, I was told. Was that in a reading or was that a meme? I have a lot of questions because, you know, this kind of ties into what you were, and I were talking about best before the call, which is how we were talking about being an artist and how you were talking. I mean, I don't want to share too much, but for me, in my perspective, like I feel like astrology is an art form and that's how I view it. And so I like to tell my clients that, you know, even at the beginning of a session or is that like, this is an art form. So when we do the reading, you're getting my interpretation, like you're getting my interpretation. It's going to be very different from anyone else's because it's kind of, I view it as art, you know? And so, and some of the things that I say will be me pulling out different, you know, emphases on different things in the chart. And I'm going to frame it partially based on my intuition about who I'm talking to and what's going on, you know? So did this person who told Aaron this, was there like a part of a bigger intuition that this person was having, you know, as part of a bigger chart reading? Was it, you know, I just want to know more about the context, I guess, because taken on its face, I would not have said the same thing. I would not have said that Aaron needs to lean into her rising sign. I don't see why that was said, but maybe, just saying, maybe it was part of a bigger context. Maybe the reader was responding to seeing all the water in the chart, seeing that Pisces moon, seeing the Cancer sun, the Mercury in Cancer, and kind of saying, oh, hey, here's some earth. Why don't you lean into your earth? You know, that's probably where you should lean in because I don't know why that was said. So that's, I will also say to Aaron and to any listener who's getting an astrology reading that you are more expert on yourself than the reader who's doing your chart reading. I hope that's obvious, but it's not always, right? Because sometimes if an astrologer gets something right where we're like, oh, they've said that really right, that's like totally me, then we will naturally believe whatever else they say, you know? And that can be really dangerous for us if that person isn't, you know? So you're the expert on you. And you know, maybe for Erin, the fact that this is still settling with her and she wanted to bring it to us, maybe there is something about it that she feels like is really juicy about this idea. So she is like, yeah, I do want to lean into my Capricorn rising. That's why she's still thinking about it. Or maybe she's thinking about it because she's like, that just felt so wrong. And I don't know why it was said. And I just need a second opinion. I don't know, because all I have is the question. But I'll say to you, Erin, that if it's that latter idea that you're like, this just doesn't feel like me, then it's not you. Let it go. You know, like, it, just because an astrologer said it does not mean it's true. So I guess my, you know, trusting your intuition is an important skill to have when you do go into any kind of reading type situation, because you're going to be the judge of all, everything that's coming at you. And we do tend sometimes to look to people who are in power in some way, and astrologers can hold a lot of power and say, well, maybe you know me, or maybe you know something. And that can get really dangerous. And it's one of the dangers of the profession. So that's my long thing I really wanted to say. But, you know, looking at your chart, what I would say about this, Erin, is that yes, to your second point of like, I do see it more as like you're exploring these polarities. And so you're going to be going back and forth. You're going to be bouncing back and forth, especially with the North Node on your descendant conjunct your Sun in Cancer, which puts the South Node conjunct your Ascendant conjunct your Cancer rising. So you're someone who throughout this life is bouncing back and forth between Cancer, between Capricorn, between Cancer, between Capricorn. I was, you would want to really deeply study the symbolisms of those two signs and just notice, gently notice, when am I pulled into one? When am I pulled into the other? How does that feel? It might often feel disconcerting. It might often feel like, ooh, I should be doing more of the other thing that I'm not doing. That kind of grass is always greener feeling. That is frustrating. I will, you know, definitely frustrating, but it's also just part of the life path when you have a strong push and pull in two directions. And so being okay with that feeling of like, yeah, I wish I was doing more of the thing that I'm not doing. So if I'm in a Cancer moment, I wish I was being more organized, more productive, more planning. If I'm in a Capricorn moment, oh, I wish I could just have more ease, more peace, more love, more sharing, more nurturance, more support. You know, that there's always going to be that kind of yearning, but somehow there may be a way you can use that yearning to motivate you in some ways. You know, I'm at a point in my astrology practice where I don't like to get too teachy, like, oh, you should take this and go do something with it. It's like, what if there's nothing to do? What if you just are in it? You're in it and it's just what it is. And so, you know, naturally you'll probably do some things with it. And I bet you have a lot of really good skills that you've developed over the years in terms of your emotional intelligence, in terms of asking yourself how you're feeling. The other big thing that stands out to me about your chart is that there's just this pile up around the descendant. You know, so the Sun is in the seventh house conjunct your descendant. Your North Node is conjunct your descendant almost within 2 minutes. Mercury's over there too. So more so than just being this push and pull between Cancer and Capricorn, to me, it's also about you, how you feel that you're balancing off with another person and how you're taking in other people's opinions and how you're connecting and sharing your ideas with another person, how you're forming yourself in relation to those very important people in your life and how you're honoring them and honoring yourself and creating both peace, but also creating a place for yourself there. And so, you know, even in this question of like, hey, this person said this thing to me, what is it? Is it me? There's that energy of that interest and kind of conflict with what is this other person seeing about me, and is it me? You know, so that's a question that may be coming up a lot in different ways, that you are exploring that dynamic and really finding yourself both in your own eyes and in the eyes of another and knowing what is important to you about these dynamics. That's what I've got.
All right. Oh my. Okay. I'm going to riff initially to your point. I think it's, you know, maybe it's repetitious, but same sentiment, but maybe different words. The idea that this is all dynamic exploration. And when we're looking at any sign archetype, there's so many different octaves of expression in it. You know, we could work through all of the facets of Capricorn in a lifetime and not be nearly complete. And so there's never in me, there's this sense of either or. It reminded me a little bit of a question about, you know, like how do we kind of handle chart energies with someone who has the sun and the moon in the same sign, you know, and you're an example of that, Sandy. But it's like, you know, if we're feeling like the moon is sort of this pull or sort of the emotional interior in the sun, and it's like, you know, the simple answer to that is, well, there's different qualities of each of those signs that you're playing with through that lens. And the same is true here, you know, that there might be moments to lean into certain parts of Capricorn and lean out from certain parts of Capricorn. And like, when we really go into each of these signs countries, we see like the infinite complexity of their sort of like all these like gradients of expression within them. And so within a single sign, you know, knowing that there's not just sort of like an orientation toward this sign or away from this sign, that there can be an orientation within a single sign toward certain aspects of that sign in a given moment and maybe away from, if we want to use that language, others. And the other thing, and I think this was, you know, like you said this really beautifully, Sandy, but the thing in Aaron's question that really stood out to me was this phrase, I've been told. I've been told. And it started getting me thinking a lot about all of the ways in which this chart is in a lifetime of active inquiry around taking responsibility and like seizing internal authority rather than being told, you know. And we see this reflected in so many, you know, like you expressed all of these energies around the descendant and how that that reflects this kind of idea of internal authority and understanding your own sort of personal integrity and vision, you know, vis-a-vis what's being reflected to you. It's also reflected by, you know, Saturn. I mean, it's not on the midheaven, but it's, you know, Saturn and Mars up in Libra, you know, and this idea of part of Libra energy being about like finding rightness for ourselves, like beyond what we're told is sort of right, wrong. But this Saturn, you know, this, you know, strong Saturn energy conjunct Mars, it's really a lifetime of learning, you know, or figuring out how you've internalized external, you know, visions of authority and sort of regrouping around that. This is also a person who has a numerological 11, which is the Justice card, which is another expression of this idea of finding internal rightness and seizing sort of an authority and a way forward that feels really internally correct. And so letting that all be sort of part of the context of this inquiry, I was also really struck by the feeling of having some strong water energies in earthy houses. You know, we've got the Capricorn, the Cancer North Node and Mercury in Cancer in the sixth, and the Moon in Pisces in the second. And so this idea of having water sort of build its own, like that there's always going to be a dynamism in this person's life around the feeling that they have to sort of insert themselves into a pre-existing external structure, like an earthy sort of habitat, versus sort of like inundating through the water and like letting that then create or give rise to the structure around. And I have a lot of visions for this chart just around this idea of what it means to sort of endure and to kind of weatherize and continue to assert the validity of this water energy and this strong emotional current without becoming hard or without becoming sort of calcified. The other thing I wanted to say is around the feeling of the rising. And I think I've said this probably before in this podcast, but for me, the rising less and less as I work with it really has anything to do with like the cultivation of qualities or like considering personality at all. For me, the rising is almost just like the shape of the life, like the shape of the adventure through which we meet self. So it's like, if you conceive of Capricorn as a continual sort of thematic meeting of self, that there's always going to be a meeting and an uncovering of new facets of yourself in sort of Capricornian situations or through these themes. And connected to that, looking at this 12th house, south node. Yeah, I think the south node's in the 12th. And this idea of like anything in the 12th about, you know, connected on some level, for me at least, around like coming clean around where this operates in your life, bringing more consciousness to where this operates. And so rather than maybe the language around like leaning into or leaning away from, maybe language around just like building consciousness around Capricorn. Where do I feel this energy in my life? When are there moments where it feels like it's unconsciously operating or it's coming up situationally or it's outside of me? And then in what moments do I want to sort of take it inside? This idea of inside, outside, maybe, you know, maybe useful, sort of connected to this Cancer energy. So yeah, I think that's all I've got for now. But yeah, I think also like in any deep water chart, you know, and this chart obviously has other energies besides water, but you know, with the sun and the moon both in water signs, there's always going to be this, I don't know, this dance of these poles and following a pole, following a current in a moment, you know, leaning in, leaning out, like being whisked away, like the movement of a chart. And so knowing that the orientation of your movement is sort of like slip and slide around between these and kind of like let the structure work for you in some way is an important one.
Yeah. I think it's a really hard thing to allow for in our society. You know, it's just exactly what you said is so hard for an individual to be okay with, you know, because we're told over and over again, be consistent, know your goals. And depending on what you do every day, like that's more or less important. But I think it can really weigh on a person. And, you know, maybe Aaron, for you, some of that feeling of like, I should be more Capricorn, or I got to find that within me. I don't know. I can relate. I can relate to the challenge of that, of feeling like, you know, how do you accept the cyclical nature of your being, of the watery, you know, push and pull and getting swept away and forgetting what you're going for and then coming back around to it and being like, oh, it was always there. It never was gone. And now I'm here again, but I won't be here for long. So I'm going back into the sea now. Goodbye. Oh, I'm back.
Yeah. Yeah. It's making me think when you just said the word should, and I, you know, now thinking about that in the context of her question, you know, not to like get too obsessive about the cardinals, but it is making me think too about the word should and the cardinal signs, like this idea of like bearing responsibility for something. And like there is, I think, this feeling, like a strong feeling, not that, you know, other signs or other modalities are immune to the idea of should, but when I think about Capricorn, Libra, I mean, Aries maybe a little less so, but it's, there still is like an impet, you know, like a, oh, we've got to like, yeah. And like, you know, like there, I think there can be a great healing. Cancer has that embedded in it too, but it's coming, that like pull or that push or whatever that is, the push pull is from a different origin point. And like what you so beautifully expressed, Sandy, this emotional confidence. And like, I don't know, I feel like now there's like this great healing that Cancer can help us with in a high octave of expression, really to understand action and impulse and like erode some of the quality of the should, you know, to this other kind of like sense of moving through this world. I don't know.
Remother us a little. I like it.
All right. Should we do a little tarot touchstone to seal the deal? So we're just going to pull a card to see what Cancer energy wants, what this archetype wants us to know about it in this moment. Let myself be Cancerian about this and see what arises to the surface. All right. Okay. So I've pulled the Eight of Cups. And this is a card that I connect to Pisces energy, like sort of technically speaking, whatever that means. It's a card that's like connected to Saturn in Pisces, which we're, you know, collectively experiencing right now. But it's interesting because I've been working with this card more and more. Like this is the one in the Rider-Waite-Smith where we see a figure who's sort of like walking on walkabout alone, sort of setting off by night, slipping away. And, you know, there's some interpretations of this card around sort of like, you know, leaving a good thing for the trust in a better thing or what have you. But I've been working with this card more and more around the idea of like doing our own work in our own way, whatever that work is. Like we hear this phrase so often in like, you know, modern spirituality circles, like doing the work. But then so often we, I think, start to slip into this feeling of like, yeah, like, am I doing the work? Like they're doing the work, or are they doing it? You know, like this sort of comparative analysis. when in this card's climate, it's very private, almost around, and it undoes a lot of the linearity around, like, you know, I'm thinking of, like, I'll give an example, you know, specifically my, like, money story. You know, I've had this sort of repetitive, and we all have this in some area of our lives or multiple areas, like this feeling of, like, this narrative that's always been like, why am I not progressing in this realm? Or like, why is this the same? Or like, whatever that pullback is. And then it's just like, what happens when we release from this idea? And it brings us full circle to the beginning of the conversation around this, like, the linearity of, like, progressing through something or, like, doing the work in order to get better. Like, what if we actually, like, loosened that? And it takes us into this, you know, very Piscean realm and watery realm, but also, like, the part of our conversation where we were talking about, you know, motivation, like, eroding some of the shoulds and motivating from water in a different way. I don't know, I'm, like, getting out and, like, into the sloshy slipperies now, but I think that this message at its core really speaks to letting your way through whatever it is that you're working through right now, and through, maybe we don't even need that word, but working, whatever you're working, you know, letting mm-hmm. that way be wildly and wholly yours, and not have mm-hmm. to be on some sort of linear rubric of completion or accomplishment at all.
I think that is an amazing sentiment. Just trying to internalize it for a second. Yeah, it requires emotional confidence.
Yeah.
You know, like, you have to really, I think so much of our conversation has come down to some kind of trust in yourself and your own process, you know, and like some kind of faith that there's more around the next bend, you know, and that there's a new emotion coming along, that like, that is something about Cancer being this moving cardinal energy of like the next new thing. And I think that's maybe something important to say is about, like, sometimes when we're in an emotion or in a feeling, we just get the sense that that's how it's always going to be, and then the next feeling comes along. And then we're like, oh, now I'm in this feeling. And I think something about Cancer is trusting that there is this movement, that you're going to make something new. Mm-hmm. And so here's to making new, my friends.
Yeah, it's making me think of, what's that? Is it a Bob Seger song, Night Moves? Oh, working yeah. on a night moves.
Yes.
Yeah, like, can we move from, like, what does it mean to move from the nocturnal realm? And I think this connects us to Eight of Cups. Well, and all the water sign energy too.
Yeah.
All right. Well, emotions, oceans, eternal forgiveness, backseat night moves. We hope that wherever you are, you're feeling like you can trust in the unfolding, splishy, splashy, sloshy journey of your own sensitivity. And we'll see you over in the full sun of Leo season.
Thanks for joining us. If you want to ask a question about your own chart, you can do so at starpartypodcast.com/question. And visit my website, that's sandycitron.com, for courses and mini readings and regular astrology readings. I'll be doing one question readings on new moons and full moons. So sign up at my website, sandycitron.com. And Besmatasa's website is besmatasa.com. We'll see you soon.